Welcome back to another edition of NFL Reacts. I'm Steven Serta of Arrowhead Pride. NFL Reacts is brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code SBNNFL for a special offer when you sign up. That's code SBNNFL only at the DraftKings Sportsbook. It's the best weekend of football all year. We head into the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. All the bad teams have been eliminated. Every team that is left is good, and I think we're going to get some really, really good football on Saturday and Sunday this week. I am super excited. I feel like I can talk myself into each one of these games being a tight contest, so I'm absolutely juiced for this weekend. Need to welcome in Kate Majuk of DK Nation. Kate, divisional round, we're pumped. Chiefs and Bills is going to be the greatest playoff game that anybody has ever played, and I'm really excited. I'm really nervous for the Chiefs, but I'm juiced for this weekend. I think there's some really good value that we're going to get into in our lineups. Of course, we'll give you our pick three at the end of the show, but this is what I wait for all year. This weekend, this is my favorite weekend of football throughout the entire season, and it's going to be amazing. I can't wait.
It is going to be amazing. And like, let me just say, after the weekend, the wild card weekend that we had on Slate last weekend, I feel like we just deserve better football. Like, I feel like I have good karma game coming to like this weekend. I'm excited for all the matchups. I think each one of these teams has a lot of interesting moving parts. Like you mentioned Bills Chiefs. I'm just so curious how this Chiefs defense is going to hold up against the Bills. Can Josh Allen continue to just be on an absolute tear? What's Patrick Mahomes got? Like, there's just so many different pieces in each one of these games. Joe Burrow, how is he going to look in this huge primetime spot? There's just so many fun things that we're going to, you know, get to see, questions we're going to have answered this weekend. It should be a weekend of quality football. And if it's not, I'm asking the NFL for a refund on the entire postseason. Cause we need some good quality matchups, please, please, please.
I wholeheartedly believe that like the divisional round of the NFL playoffs is where legends are made. Like, this is where we get some of those epic playoff games that we all look forward to every year. So we've got some NFL Reacts polls, and before we get in the divisional round, we might as well knock these wild card polls out. Was expanding the wild card round to 14 teams a good idea? 57% say yes. 43% say no. I think I side with the no here. It just feels like it was unnecessary. You already mentioned the wildcard games just were not very entertaining. There was no real huge upsets. Like, the Niners and Cowboys was an entertaining game, I guess, in the fact that it came down to the last minute. But it wasn't necessarily a huge upset that the Niners beat the Cowboys. Like, we all know the Niners are a really, really talented team. And roster-wise, they can compete with anybody when they're healthy. And they're healthy, and they had a really good game plan against the Dallas Cowboys. Outside of that, it was a bunch of bad games last weekend.
It was a bunch of bad games, but you know what? I can't say that I think the quality of games would have been much different had we eliminated the seventh seed out of this picture. Because are we saying the Eagles played particularly well? I don't think so. Like, what would have changed if we had eliminated the seventh seed in your mind? Because I just don't think it would have swayed really anything that much. The top teams were dominant and the not top teams were not dominant. Like, Patriots, they got their booties kicked despite, having a really solid defensive game plan for all of the season. The Pittsburgh Steelers, we knew what we were going to get. The Raiders, I think we also probably knew what we were going to get, though they really tried to give the Bengals a run for their money. Like, I don't think anything really changes without the seventh seed for the NFC either.
Yeah, I think that we saw just like the top heavy nature of the NFL right now, where the good teams are really, really good. And then everybody else is just kind of floating around in limbo, kind of just average. And I think the only way like the Eagles could have been more entertaining is if they just weren't in the playoffs. And even, you know, the Saints, who could not score offensively, at least their defense, like, we know that Saints defense gives Tom Brady all kinds of problems. So that game probably would have been more entertaining than the Eagles actually playing the Bucs. But it is what it is. We got super wild card weekend moving forward. So I'm sure we'll debate this every single year, whether or not they should have a 7 seed in the playoffs, but they do. Let's go ahead and get into these divisional round matchups. I'm so excited, and we'll start with the Cincinnati Bengals at the Tennessee Titans. Derrick Henry, it sounds like he's going to return in this game, Kate. You know, they've opened the window. He's been returning to practice, putting the pads on, kind of testing his contact, making sure he's comfortable here. And he's pricey. Like, he's still getting that Derrick Henry price tag, despite the fact that he hasn't played football in 2.5 months. I'm curious how you feel about going after Derrick Henry, like, knowing that this Tennessee Titans offense with a healthy Derrick Henry, he's the guy. He's the key component to them scoring and moving the football. I'm just worried that he's not going to be King Henry, that he's not going to get the workload that we're used to, especially at that price tag.
Yeah, and especially just the fact that, I mean, we really haven't seen, a rapid ramp up in his contact. Like, he just started seeing contact this week. So it's not like he's really been ramping up over the last few weeks, and now he's back to King Henry. I don't really know what to expect here. And the wide range of outcomes makes me a little hesitant to be willing to pay up for Derrick Henry. I do think that there, you know, it's kind of hard to find a giant workhorse, especially with some of the teams we have left here. But, I'd rather take a dart throw on, an Elijah Mitchell, who's less expensive. And I think he's going to see just the same amount of workload, if not maybe more than Henry this week. I'm hesitant to pay up for Henry, and I know it's going to come back. It's going to bite me in the booty. I'm not going full fade on Derrick Henry because you can't, but I'm going to fade him in the majority of my lineups just because of the question marks. And I don't know, everybody's so excited. I'm not sure what the projected ownership rate of Derrick Henry is going to be this week. But I could see him, if activated Friday, squeezing into a lot of lineups and taking up lots of salary.
Yeah, the Bengals run defense is okay, but it's not like a run defense that you shy away from. And the way the Titans like to attack in the passing game, like, they like utilizing those play action looks a lot. So if Derrick Henry is active, like, I think you can try to get him into some lineups, but, and I probably will, because, you know, I just have 20 lineups or whatever out in the world. So I'll probably try to squeeze him in somewhere just to have a little bit of exposure to him. But he's not going to be a guy that I build my lineups around this week. I just got to see him do it first. And I think that means you probably, assuming he gets activated ahead of this game, you got to just avoid Deontay Foreman, because I just don't know what that workload is going to look like. And I'm not confident that, you know, if they bring him back and they rush him back and they assume that Derrick Henry is healthy enough to go here, I would assume that they know, okay, we need him to get a lot of carries and we need him to get work. So that makes me scared of putting a guy like Deontay Foreman in my lineup, even though he's been productive down the stretch.
Absolutely. And I think the one thing that's very interesting about Deontay Foreman too, is that he's another guy that could really just completely swing the narrative of this game and swing the narrative of the Derrick Henry return. Deontay Foreman is a guy that we've actually seen, like you say, be super productive when asked to step up. So, you know, if they are looking to maybe ease Derrick Henry into his workload, I mean, you've got a guy who he has had 3 100-yard rushing games over the last, 6 weeks of the season. I think that, I mean, he's been a pretty suitable, performer when asked to do it. So I do think he's maybe, you know, going to be another barrier to Derrick Henry seeing those 30 touches, because why bother giving him 30 touches when you have a guy like Deontay Foreman, who I think is a very capable running back who can spell Henry better than maybe most backup running backs.
I want to dive into the Titans passing attack a little bit. And, you know, the Titans had the first round bye, so they were off last week, but it's been hard to rely on this passing game in this offense this season. Like, AJ Brown is one of my favorite wide receivers in the NFL. When he is healthy, he is an absolute monster, but he's had some injury issues, especially this season, to the point where he's been a little bit of a letdown in your fantasy lineup. So I love AJ Brown, but it all comes down to Ryan Tannehill and how Tannehill shows up and performs in this game. And again, Cincinnati's defense isn't like a shutdown defense or anything like that, but they're solid and they've given teams some problems this season. I was really impressed with the way their defense played the Raiders last week. Now, the Titans coming off of a bye, and the Titans are kind of an inexplicable team. Like, all season long, we're like, this team's not really that good. Like, how do they keep winning?
The worst number one seed in the history of all of football.
Yeah, like, they just kept winning games, and everybody's just sitting back like, how does Tennessee keep winning these football games? Like,
they're scrappy. Let's just call that. They're scrappy. They find themselves always in a position to be in it, but they don't feel like a quality football team. And I think part of that is some of the inconsistency from Ryan Tannehill. You see him shine, and then you see him just absolutely crumble to bits. You've had just sort of various pieces that I think are so key to the offense, especially obviously in Derrick Henry, but also AJ Brown, who's been in and out of the lineup, Julio Jones, who, you know, I don't think is necessarily a playable asset for fantasy. He is still somebody that the defenses have to consider perhaps a little bit more seriously than Chester Rogers. Like, we just haven't seen all of these pieces together on the field at the same time to really be able to have any sort of idea. I'll be interested to see how they respond with a first round bye, especially just because they're a team that hasn't had all these key pieces available at the same time. That might actually work against them because they don't have that opportunity to build more chemistry as a complete team. It's just going to be really interesting to see how they are able to piece this one together.
I do think that Ryan Tannehill is a guy you can put into your lineups. It's as far as starting quarterbacks go in the divisional round, he's the second cheapest next to only Jimmy Garoppolo. And I think there is some value there where Cincinnati's got two solid outside corners, but you can kind of attack them through the air. And I think that's going to get funneled to AJ Brown, and AJ Brown is coming in at a reasonable price tag himself at $6,200. So I actually kind of like the idea of a Ryan Tannehill, AJ Brown stack in a game where Tennessee's got to find a way to put up points. Like, we know Cincinnati wants to air it out and they want to score quick. Tennessee's going to have to do that this week too.
Yeah, I think that's a definitely a risky move, a stack like that. But we know the upside of Ryan Tannehill. We know the upside of AJ Brown. And I have to imagine with all of these question marks currently in the mix for the Titans right now, I can't necessarily think that I'm going to see that as a very highly rostered stack, just given what Ryan Tannehill has done and then not done to our fantasy lineups throughout the season, because it's been a roller coaster.
So how do we feel about Julio Jones, who is cheap?
No.
And it's it's so hard to look at his price tag and be like, Julio, you were such a superstar for so long in your NFL career. And I was somebody before the season started, like, I still want Julio Jones. I think Julio Jones is still a superstar player. Like, when he was healthy last year in Atlanta, he was still insanely productive. And he just hasn't been healthy all season. And, you know, maybe he is healthy now, but I just don't see how you can trot him out there. Like, it is nothing but a dart throw, and you're hoping for the best because he has just not been consistent at all when he's been in the lineup for the Titans this season.
Honestly, one of like the saddest narratives of all time, but you can't trust Julio Jones. The issue with him, he's coming off a week 18 performance where he had 58 yards and a touchdown. And that was one of his best games of the season. The ceiling has not been super high. In week two, we saw a 128 receiving yard performance, but outside of that, he's hurt you a lot more than he's helped you. Only exceeded 50 receiving yards in three total games this season. Just not what you want. Though I will say, looking at Pro Football Reference and his splits for games against the Bengals, he's only played two career games against the Bengals, and those spans have averaged 12.5 targets, 8 receptions per game for 130.5 receiving yards and 0.5 touchdowns. Not so shabby for those splits, but unfortunately, that Julio is, I don't think, any longer with us. So RIP. Don't play him. Full fade.
Well, and this game, more so, I think, than the other divisional round games, is really script dependent. Like, we look at some of the other high powered offenses. Like, we know the Bills are going to throw. We know the Chiefs are going to throw. We know the Bucks are going to throw and the Rams are going to throw. Like, we know those offenses are going to attack you downfield kind of no matter what the score is in the game, because that's just how they like to play. The Titans will totally abandon the pass if they get up early in this game and their rushing attack is being effective. So it makes me worrisome for anybody other than AJ Brown. I'm just going to probably avoid their pass catchers for the most part. As far as the Bengals go, we'll obviously get into Burrow and the pass catchers because they're going to be in a lot of your lineups. But I'm curious how you feel about Joe Mixon this week. The Tennessee Titans secondary isn't great, but their run defense has actually been fantastic all season long. Mixon showed flashes of like being that true RB1 at points this season, but he's kind of been up and down lately. He does have kind of a safe touch total that you can rely on for the Bengals, but he hasn't been the RB1 that you really want. And going in this tough matchup, I expect the Bengals to throw a lot. I don't know if I love Joe Mixon this week.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I do either. And I mean, just looking at what he's accomplished this season, obviously he's been a top end running back. He scored lots of touchdowns, but it's kind of been, it's felt like an all or nothing for Joe Mixon. Either he absolutely explodes or you don't see all that much out of him. He's only exceeded 70 rushing yards 5 times this season. And it seems like that's not enough for a guy who saw 313 total rush attempts on the season. The issue too also comes with the question marks and how much do you trust his receiving totals here? It's really one of those things that you can't necessarily count on efficiency. So you're looking at the volume, but with the lack of efficiency. And maybe the fact that it does seem a little banged up. We've seen him come in and out of the game, on and off the field, especially last week. It was an ankle. Just lots of question marks there. I'm going to bet he's not fully healthy, and maybe that's why we're seeing a slight decline in efficiency throughout the season. But you do have to pay top-tier pricing. So would you rather a guy like this, or maybe save some money and I don't know. Let's see. Like a Cam Akers. I'd feel much better about Cam Akers' salary than I would with Joe Mixon, despite that really safe touch total that Mixon carries.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think this game is going to come down to the passing attack for the Bengals and not necessarily their rushing ability. And maybe I'm totally wrong and Mixon winds up having a huge game or something like that. But I think this game comes down to Joe Burrow. And he's coming off that, you know, huge Bengals playoff win, first one since, what was it, like 1990 or 1991 or whatever. He's going to have to step up. And I think he was solid last week, but going against that Raiders defense and the way that Burrow performed the last 2 weeks of the regular season, I feel like expectations were a little bit higher for him going into that game. But again, it's playoff atmosphere, nerves, like all that stuff winds up being a factor in these kinds of games. But I think that Joe Burrow is going to respond. And I think that the Bengals have a really good chance of winning this football game. And he's at a reasonable price tag. Again, I think they're going to have to throw. And if they want to win this game, it's going to be on the back of Joe Burrow. So I actually really like Joe Burrow in my lineups this week.
Absolutely.
And as far as the pass catchers go for the Bengals, Ja'Marr Chase, absolute stud. He's obviously the most expensive Bengals wide receiver at $7,100, but he's still a guy I'll find some value in some other spots and still get a guy like Ja'Marr Chase into my lineup because he's an absolute stud. I'm curious how you feel about T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd, Kate, because they were both kind of quiet, or Tyler Boyd did catch a touchdown last week. T. Higgins was very quiet in that game, but as we know, T. Higgins can explode too. And I think that the Titans are going to try to focus heavily on Ja'Marr Chase in this game, which opens things up for T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd. Like, we've seen Tyler Boyd have long touchdowns several times over the last few weeks because all of the attention is just taken away from him and he winds up being wide open. So I think both those guys are good values that you can try to squeeze into your lineups.
Yeah, at this point, sort of in our slate where we don't have a ton of games and, you know, our options for this slate are kind of limited, I am looking to get more exposure to guys like T. Higgins because we know the ceiling is quite high. I mean, this is a receiver that has 1,100 receiving yards on the season, 6 touchdowns. And down the stretch, I'm not sure you could have asked for a more clutch wide receiver. But I think what gets me there, perhaps he doesn't have quite as high of a ceiling as Ja'Marr Chase does. But I mean, down the stretch, we're looking at 4 of his last 6 games with 100 or more receiving yards. Like this is a player that just can absolutely be dominant. I think it just sort of depends where the coverage is at. And I do think that coming after a week of the Ja'Marr Chase show, they probably are going to give him a little bit more attention and we could see a really big T. Higgins game. I absolutely love pivoting over and, saving a little bit of money. I mean, the matchup's great and he's only $5,700. So you're saving, you know, about $1,500 in cap space if you're pivoting from Ja'Marr Chase to T. Higgins. And I do think the upside, though there is a small differential, is not significant.
Yeah, and I actually kind of like CJ Uzama a little bit this week. He's only $3,400. Obviously, there are some superstar tight ends in this round and on this slate. So I understand if you want to go with those guys, they're much safer options. But he did have a solid wild card game, and it's a reasonable matchup. So he's so cheap, he's another one of those real value guys that you could try to squeak into your lineup. The San Francisco 49ers head to Lambeau Field. It is going to be absolutely freezing in this football game. Your classic Lambeau Field January playoff game. And Jimmy Garoppolo, as I already mentioned, is the cheapest quarterback on the slate, and he's the cheapest quarterback for a reason. He's also got that hand injury, and now he's dealing with a shoulder injury. This week, Kyle Shanahan was like, oh, it's not affecting him that much. And Jimmy G was like, no, it hurts every time I throw a football. Like, I'm in a lot of pain right now, and I'm trying to get through this thing. I love the 49ers' offensive weapons. I love what they did last week against the Dallas Cowboys. I'm not going near Jimmy G in this football game, in this, like, sub-zero potential game. I don't want anything to do with Jimmy Garoppolo this week.
Yeah, no, thank you. I mean, I don't think I'd be very interested in Jimmy Garoppolo, period. Just given the nature of this game, it's cold, it's in Lambeau. Like, it doesn't have the narrative to be a Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, air it out, get some yards after the catch from it. Doesn't have that kind of narrative for me. But I mean, just partnering that with the injuries, and it's not just one, it's a couple of upper body injuries. And that always scares me. Even if you're not maybe convinced that it'll affect his performance, you always have to worry when we have, you know, these injuries, it could be one sack and we could see this injury aggravated. Maybe this is a point where you look to get Trey Lance in a couple of your lineups in these GPP contests, because I mean, as a backup with very limited touch opportunities, has still averaged 11 fantasy points per game. If nothing else, maybe they use them around the goal line and get creative in that way. But I think, I don't know, maybe that could be an interesting pivot play if you're looking to, A, save some salary, and if you're a believer that Jimmy G really is not nearly as healthy as Kyle Shanahan hopes to believe.
Yeah, I don't mind that strategy at all. We've just seen how inconsistent Jimmy Garoppolo can be at times, and you know, it's do or die. You got to win to advance, so we'll see how that goes for Jimmy Garoppolo. As far as the 49ers rushing attack goes, you already mentioned Elijah Mitchell. I love, you know, pivoting to a Mitchell if you're scared of putting Derrick Henry in your lineup. He's a much better price, and we know that when he is healthy, like, he's just going to get 20 carries. Like, we know that the San Francisco 49ers are going to utilize him that way. And the Packers rush defense isn't great. So I think that the 49ers are going to be able to find some success here. And again, we mentioned the frigid temperatures that they're going to be dealing with in this game. So I think the 49ers are going to try to run the football a ton. Elijah Mitchell is a good value. I'm a little bit shocked that Deebo Samuel is straight up $1,000 cheaper than Cooper Kupp this week. Like, that seems a little crazy to me. He's still $7,600, which is still a lofty price tag, but they're going to run the ball. And Deebo Samuel, when he gets rushes, just looks like he's the best running back in football. Like, he almost looks like Derrick Henry out there because he's so physical and he's so impossible to tackle.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of shocked at this as well, especially just given the fact that, he is, because of the way that they utilize him and the way that they find a way to generate touches for him, regardless of if it's as a receiver or as a rusher, like the fact that they are dead set on getting him involved, regardless of the game script, I think makes him feel like a better play for me. And I mean, again, looking at the upside, when I'm trying to decide between two of these receivers, I upside for Deebo Samuel is close enough to that of Cooper Kupp for me that I'm absolutely willing to make the pivot there and hope he gets involved on the ground, and just that they find as many ways to get the ball into his hands as possible. He's averaging 20 fantasy points per game over on DraftKings. Just seems like the differential there is negligible for how much salary you're going to save.
Yeah, he's just, when he has the ball in his hands, he's just been unstoppable this season. Like, whether it's through the air or on the ground, he's one of the most versatile weapons in the NFL, and he's just been absolutely incredible.
Your Swiss pick three, Army knife.
Yes, your pick three wide receiver from last week, Brandon Ayuk, did wind up having a very nice game. It would have been better if Jimmy Garoppolo wouldn't have just straight up missed him on some wide open passes. But I like Ayuk this week. He's been playing really, really well down the stretch for the San Francisco 49ers. And it looks like he's really rounding into a good all around wide receiver for them. But the Packers are likely going to have Jair Alexander back in this game. He could see a lot of Brandon Ayuk. So I'm curious if that's kind of makes you stay away from Ayuk this week, especially knowing the temperatures and Jimmy Garoppolo's shoulder, hand injury, all of that stuff.
Yeah, I'm not so much interested in Brandon Ayuk or really any of the receiving options here. You know, even George Kittle, we've seen him sort of be completely neglected here in the postseason. Dude's getting bored. I feel like he wants to get some touches here, but I just don't like the game script here. I would prefer to try to keep it on the ground, which of course involves Deebo Samuel, but with the question marks at quarterback and just the the defensive weapons that could be available and likely are to be available for the Packers, I'm not overly interested in Brandon Ayuk. I don't think he's as decent a value as he should be given the circumstances.
And for the Packers coming off of a bye, Aaron Rodgers has been on another level this season. It's every time I watch him, I feel like he just makes everything look so easy and smooth. And the 49ers defense is coming off of a great performance against the Dallas Cowboys. I just don't know if that's going to be enough this week going against this Packers team that is finally getting healthy too. And likely getting players like Za'Darius Smith and David Bakhtiari back. Like, we're talking about like all pro caliber players that they've played a majority of the season without. I just think that everything is kind of aligning for the Green Bay Packers to look really dominant in this game. So I think Aaron Rodgers is going to find more success against the secondary than Dak Prescott did last week. So Rodgers, Adams, who is of course pricey, you want to get those guys into your lineups if you can. And that's where you find the value so you can capitalize on the guys that are more expensive like those two.
Yeah, I think, that paired with even the question marks that the 49ers have on defense, we're not even really talking enough about the injury to Nick Bosa. He's been questionable with a concussion. The 49ers have been a pretty stout run defense throughout the season. So the road to a victory for them should lead through Aaron Rodgers. I'm not so much excited about the rushing attack, but my curiosity for you, Steven, comes, how would you feel about this rushing attack if we were to see Nick Bosa miss this game, if they were to be without some of these key defensive pieces? Because that might totally revolutionize your game plan, especially in this kind of cold environment in Lambeau. Like, would that change anything for you?
I think that if I'm going to attack the Packers rushing game, it's going to be AJ Dillon, who's significantly cheaper than Aaron Jones. I love Aaron Jones. I think he's a fantastic player, but the way the Packers decided to utilize those guys down the stretch, AJ Dillon outcarried Aaron Jones. Now, Jones is always going to have the work in the passing game, but AJ Dillon has really become like that battering ram for them, and he's getting the goal line touches and getting the end zone opportunity. So I would rather take the value in the lower salary there and just bank on AJ Dillon finding the end zone or something. So Aaron Jones, probably not a guy that I'm going to have in a lot of lineups this weekend.
Yeah, I'm in agreement. Doesn't really change all that much. Even if we do see Nick Bosa out for this contest, just not super excited about, I don't know. I'm excited about this game, Steven, but I do worry that this could be like a low scoring, just kind of slow moving game. And I don't know, the point total installed at 47 points over on DraftKings Sportsbook. Like, does it feel a little high for you? I'm not really feeling that point total.
I don't know if I'd say, I don't think it feels high, because I still think that like the Packers, Rodgers knows how to play in this cold weather. And so I think he's still going to be able to operate kind of the way that he normally does. And for the Niners, I just think that they're so good at running the football, even with a limited Jimmy G. Like we saw last week, like their passing game is limited in domes because of Jimmy Garoppolo. So it's certainly going to be limited in this kind of cold weather game, but they're so good at running the football with Elijah Mitchell and Deebo Samuel that I still think they can find a way to put some points on the board. If you wanted to pivot away from Davante Adams, Alan Lazard is only $4,400. Randall Cobb is expected to be active in this game. He's only $3,100. So he is like bottom bargain bin price. Sounds like MVS is not going to be available this week. So I actually don't mind Alan Lazard or Randall Cobb if you wanted to take like a super deep dart throw on those guys. I think Lazard's got more upside than Cobb just because he hasn't played in a while, but Cobb is so dirt cheap, I'm tempted to put him in some lineups.
I actually really like Randall Cobb. We'll talk about him in a little bit. We'll teaser.
So let's take a quick timeout. When we get back, we'll go through these last two games, and we will get to our pick three to try to help you guys get set up. It's coming up next on NFL Reacts.
Y'all about to get ready to roll, man. So y'all put the kids to bed.
I'm betting one more.
Over, under.
I'm betting on myself.
Across the board.
Welcome back into NFL Reacts. I'm Steven Serta of Arrowhead Pride, joined as always by Kate Majuk of DK Nation. Kate, we're going through all these divisional round matchups, and now we come to the Los Angeles Rams at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So it sounded like all week the Bucs were going to be without star offensive linemen Tristan Wirfs and Ryan Jensen, which was making me really nervous headed into this matchup against the Rams. Now, both of these guys did wind up practicing on Friday, so we don't have an official game status on them as of yet. They could be active in this game. I'm curious how you feel about Tom Brady in this offense and just everything that they've gone through this season injury-wise, and we don't really know who's going to be their starting running back in this game. Then if they're missing their two best offensive linemen, are we starting to doubt Brady in the playoffs a little bit heading into this game?
You're not allowed to doubt Tom Brady, actually, per report of history and all of mankind. You're not allowed to doubt Tom Brady because that is when he adds his fuel to the fire. You know, if you want to fade him and say, you know, maybe the ceiling isn't quite as high without these various weapons, obviously there is a question mark about Tristan Wirfs, and I do think that he would be a huge loss if he's not able to go. But I think we saw in last week's contest with the way that he did make an attempt to come back off the field when, or come back onto the field when he was obviously hobbled. Tristan Wirfs is a pretty tough dude, and it seems like he's pretty motivated to play. Tom Brady did take 4 sacks last week. Only the second game this season where he's taken more than 3 sacks in a game. So it doesn't seem like any of these factors are enough for me to start fading him. It's not something that I think you can do with a quarterback of his caliber and a coach of Bruce Arians' caliber, because he just has always found a way to win. They did play the Rams in week 3. Brady came out, completed nearly 75% of his passes, 432 yards, only 1 touchdown. But, you know, even under bad circumstances over the last couple weeks of the season, he still played some pretty clean football and throwing for nearly 600 yards, 5 touchdowns, 0 interceptions over the last 2 games they've played. So I don't know how you fade Tom Brady. I really don't. I think the question marks for me are more surrounding Leonard Fournette and what can you do with Leonard Fournette? Can you trust him in your lineups if he's active?
So that's kind of what concerns me for Brady. It's not just the offensive lineman. It's this running back room. Like, Leonard Fournette tweeted out earlier this week he was going to play, but then he's been limited in practice. He did return to practice on Friday, and he sat out earlier in the week. We've got to get more clarity on who's playing at the running back position, because there is some value here, I think, even going against a good Rams run defense. Like, last week we saw Giovanni Bernard and Keyshawn Vaughn both put up numbers for you and at reasonable price tags if you wanted to get one of those guys into your lineup. But if Leonard Fournette's back, maybe he takes over as the bell cow again, and both those guys totally lose value. I don't think you have to worry about Ronald Jones at all, but I'm worried about this. And I think that if Leonard Fournette is active, he's going to be the guy that you want to get into your lineup. But again, if they're down to their 2 best offensive linemen, I think that I'm going to avoid the Bucs rushing attack a little bit here. And That's also why I'm a little skeptical about Tom Brady. I think I'm going to fade Tom Brady more than you are, Kate.
Yeah, I'm not like, don't mistake me. I'm not going all in on Tom Brady here. You know, I just think there are so many question marks about this team in general. I know there's going to be value here again, because Tom Brady always finds a way. Bruce Arians always finds a way, but I think it's really hard to pinpoint where that value is going to be, just given the number of pieces involved here and the question marks in terms of injuries. I'd rather stay away from these options, but I will say those question marks make me really willing to pay up for Mike Evans, who I think is very well priced. $6,800 doesn't really seem high enough for the de facto wide receiver one. You know, just given the overall, you know, narrative that is going on in this game, right? Like, it seems kind of silly.
Yeah, when the Bucs pass catchers were deeper earlier in the season, when they had Godwin, when they had Antonio Brown, this is a game where I might move off of Mike Evans a little bit, because I'd be like, well, he might see a lot of Jalen Ramsey. And we've seen Mike Evans really struggle against these number one corners. But I kind of felt the same way last week, because I was like, well, the Eagles do have Darius Slay, and Darius Slay is having a fantastic season. Overall, their defense isn't good, but Slay does travel and he'll, you know, follow Evans around. And Tom Brady just said, I don't give a damn about you, Darius Slay. I'm feeding Mike Evans because I don't have anybody else to throw to besides him and Gronk. So I am confident in both those guys, that I just know that they're going to get the look. So Evans and Gronk are both guys that I would be totally fine getting into my lineup, because, you know, Brady's just going to look at them a ton in this football game.
Love it.
As far as the Rams go, Matthew Stafford was a guy that headed into the playoffs, he had been really up and down recently and was making really questionable throws. Like, just, it seemed like week after week, just like bad pick, bad pick, bad pick. What are you looking at, Stafford? What are you doing? And then against the Arizona Cardinals, he was super efficient, just dropping dimes, throwing touchdowns. And I'm like, okay, now I'm back on board with Matthew Stafford and this Rams passing offense. Like, that game against the Cardinals, this team just looked so dominant, and they had their stars showed up, and it was like, that's why the Rams built this entire roster just on superstars. Whether you want to question their depth or not, this roster is absolutely loaded. So I love Matthew Stafford this week, and I love this Rams passing offense overall.
Yeah, I think, you know, especially, you know, the addition here and how good OBJ looked last week. It's not even as though he put up a huge stat line, but Odell Beckham Jr., I think, is getting more and more comfortable here in this offense. I do think that probably the shakiest part of this offense is Matthew Stafford at this point, because he also doesn't look fully healthy. He's taken some really big hits down the stretch, but you know, I do think that this is a team that, you know, with plenty of question marks in the Bucs secondary, can find some room in the air. Especially with the fact that their run game is working so effectively, that opens things up. You know, this defense, this Bucs defense is going to have to think once, twice, and maybe three times every time they line up to make a play, because Cam Akers is going to be in the back of their minds. I can see them finding some more success. Maybe Cam Akers really is opening things up much more significantly too. Maybe it wasn't just the Cardinals absolutely rolling over, which it seemed like they did. I'm not all in on Matthew Stafford. I'm a little more skeptical, but I do think I'm going to have him a few shares in some of my lineups.
So I think that was the biggest thing for this Rams offense, is that Odell Beckham looked really good. Like, he looked like old Odell Beckham, like getting free releases off the line of scrimmage and like losing guys with his route running ability and explosiveness and snatching touchdowns in the end zone. Like, he looked really good in that game. And as you mentioned, Cam Akers, it's unbelievable that he looks this explosive. coming back from an Achilles injury that fast. And it's unbelievable to me that they gave him 17 carries in a playoff game.
That was wild. That was absolutely wild.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. And so I'm with you on Cam Akers. He's $5,500 this week, and he's actually more expensive than Sony Michel, who had kind of been taken over the bell cow role for this offense. So I think that Cam Akers is the guy that you want. I think that they made it clear last week, like, he's healthy and we're not afraid to give him carries. So I am curious, like, do you think there's any value in Sony Michel at all being a little bit cheaper and still, you know, having a sizable amount of carries last week, but Cam Akers clearly looked like the best running back on the Rams team.
He clearly looked like the best running back with the Rams, but I think, like, the bigger concern for me is that in addition to not only looking like the best running back, I think the Rams were aware that he was the best running back. And that's not even to say that Sony Michel hasn't been incredibly efficient this year, because I think he's done very well with, you know, the number of touches that he's had, you know, lost a little bit of that efficiency down the stretch, but to start, you know, his tear here looked really good. I'm actually kind of shocked pulling up his stats. He has had nearly, or in this season, he's had nearly 1,000 scrimmage yards, which, like, when doesn't feel like that actually happened. But I mean, down the stretch, he's gained a lot of steam, but I think the upside is capped with Cam Akers here. I mean, last week, 13 touches in a game where you really thought that they were going to ease Cam Akers in a little bit more than they did. I'm a bit worried, and I'm full fade on Sony Michel.
Yeah, Cam Akers just looked so good. Like, he just looked, he was so impressive in that game, and it was so cool to see him come back that quick.
Let me tell you, I was never a Cam Akers fan. I wasn't a huge fan coming out of college. And you know what? Like, I genuinely believe this. He looks better now than I think he did before the injury, which is just absolutely bonkers, because I don't know, his name's going to be like in medical textbooks from now on. When you hear of running backs and Achilles injuries, there's going to be a picture of Cam Akers absolutely slicing NFL defenses.
Yeah,
it's gonna happen.
That's just absolutely unbelievable. But let's get into our final game, the Buffalo Bills at the Kansas City Chiefs. I've been talking about this game all week, Kate, and I keep going back and forth and talking myself into the Bills and talking myself back into the Chiefs. And this is the first time over the last 3 years going into a playoff game where I'm legitimately like, the Chiefs, I don't think, are the best team in this football game. And I think that they've got a strong chance of losing this one. When you look at the way Josh Allen played against the Patriots and the way he carved them up, it's not just that game. It's the way he's been playing over the last month or so. Since they decided to start doing more designed runs with him and utilizing his legs and the big plays that he can make like that, it's opened up the entire offense for the Bills. Devin Singletary has all of a sudden found life late in the season and been a super effective running back. And a lot of that has to do with the threat of Josh Allen as a runner. But then also, he's just carving defenses up with his arm, and he's just throwing lasers all over the football field. Like, he just feels like he is totally unstoppable. And I think he's the safest quarterback this week to put into your lineup.
Yeah, I think he's the safest quarterback. He also has, you know, the highest upside for me. But you mentioned that they were getting him more involved in design runs, but I really do think that the storyline here is Devin Singletary and their ability to establish the run. He's been a tremendous asset to them down the stretch. And it's not even, you know, that he's looked like Adrian Peterson out there. He's looked great, but he's just been really consistent and getting those tough yards. just a touchdown in each of the last five games or more. He's really, I think, opened things up for this offense. And I think as long as they continue to stick with him, they need to get these running backs in a rhythm. And I think that opens up things so much for Josh Allen. And I think that literally, the run game alone has been what has transformed this offense over the last few weeks of the season from a good offense to an unstoppable offense.
Yeah, they've been incredible to watch. And then you look at their pass catchers and, Dawson Knox is having an incredible season. And I think he's a guy you can absolutely get into your lineup. And I'm probably going to have a lot of Dawson Knox shares. He absolutely torched the Chiefs when they played in week five. It's a different defense now, but Dawson Knox is a stud. So he's a guy that I want in my lineups. But then when you look at the Bills pass catchers, it's like Stephon Diggs, Gabriel Davis, Emmanuel Sanders, Cole Beasley, Isaiah McKenzie. All of those guys can provide value in some way, I think. And they've all had their moments this season where they've been productive. Like, I think, any of those guys, Gabriel Davis, Emmanuel Sanders, Cole Beasley, Isaiah McKenzie, like, I think all those guys are like dart throws in what I expect to be a really high scoring game, because I think everybody could find the end zone at some point in this contest. Like, I think both these teams are going to show up and be ready to put up points. I don't think the defenses it's going to come down to like which defense can get like one or two stops. Like that's how I feel about this football game.
Yeah, I think that's a really great approach. And how I'm going to sort of address these Bills wide receivers, because like you said, I do think a lot of this is going to be, just sort of who's open, because Josh Allen, he's making the plays, he's reading the field, and they have so many weapons that somebody will be open and inevitably Josh Allen will find him. So I think the best way to maybe approach this is to get a little bit of exposure to each of these lower end wide receivers, like Gabe Davis, like Cole Beasley, just get like 20% exposure to each of these assets. And I think one of them is going to hit very big.
Yeah, like I keep forgetting that Emmanuel Sanders is just a part of this football team. Like their wide receiver room is just so insanely deep, and I think they all can provide some kind of value. If I wanted to spend up, I would spend up on Stephon Diggs, because there's like that famous picture of Diggs watching the Chiefs celebrate the AFC Championship last year and saying, coming off the field and saying, "I watched it because I never want to feel that way again." Like, I think Stephon Diggs is going to have a really big game this weekend. So I love it. Like he's extra motivated and pissed off at these Kansas City Chiefs. I think Stephon Diggs is going to have an absolute monster. As far as the Chiefs go, I don't want to read too much into them dominating the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's what they should have done against the Pittsburgh Steelers. But what I will say is that game, for the first time all season, in my opinion, the Chiefs looked like the 2018-2019 Chiefs offenses, where Patrick Mahomes was making it look easy. And the threat of having Jerick McKinnon in the passing game and having a running back who can get into open space and make guys miss, and Andy Reid actually dialing those things up, is an element of the Chiefs offense that they haven't really had since like Kareem Hunt and Damian Williams. Like they just haven't had it that consistently in their offense. And it sounds like Clyde is going to go in this game. I still hope that they give Jerick McKinnon plenty of work, because he's looked so good, and Clyde's just not that kind of explosive player the way we've seen Jerick McKinnon look over the last two games. But I'm still comfortable attacking this Chiefs offense and thinking that this is like a sort of like one of those legacy playoff games for Patrick Mahomes, where, we talk about Tom Brady, Peyton Manning matchup, and like, and the way those guys showed up to play in those games. Like, this is that kind of game for Patrick Mahomes, in my opinion, where if they find a way to beat this Bills team, this is the thing that can truly like widen the gap between Patrick Mahomes and everybody else and be like, okay, he's truly the best in the world right now.
Yeah, I think, this is definitely a opportunity to step up and just sort of put a whole team on your back. Because even though, you know, obviously this is a very high powered offense, they have all the weapons that they could possibly want. You have the best tight end in the NFL. But it's what are you going to do against an uber competitive team? And I mean, these are, I think, the two best teams in the AFC. So I really wish we didn't have to pit them against each other in the divisional round. Wish we could have saved that matchup for maybe the AFC championship. But I mean, that's your defining moment, is what do you do against the best team remaining in your conference? And I think that's easily what we're going to see in this game. Patrick Mahomes, we know he can put it on his back, but we've also seen some pitfalls throughout the season. So I think we're going to see a good game out of Patrick Mahomes. I think he's, I mean, you can't argue with his, you know, postseason experience. He's got plenty of that to his name. I think he's going to do just fine, but it's definitely one of these moments that I think folks are going to look at and they're going to say, this is why we paid him his contract. And this is why he's a mega millionaire.
And Tyreek Hill had some down weeks. He was dealing with an ankle injury and he was kind of struggling when he came back from the COVID-19 list, but it was nice to see him catch that 31-yard touchdown last week. This is the game where you need your superstars to make plays. So Tyreek Hill at $6,600 and Travis Kelce at $6,500. You know, the Bills are going to try to take them away, but you need your Hall of Fame caliber players to make plays this weekend. So there's still guys that I'm willing to get into my lineup. I'm not going to avoid them or anything. If I wanted to take a dart throw on another one of these Chiefs secondary wide receivers, I think it's going to be Byron Pringle. He's just been the most consistent guy out of that group. I don't trust Mecole Hardman at all. You know, he had a big game in week 18 against the Broncos, but Tyreek Hill wasn't active in that game. And, you know, sometimes Mecole Hardman gets 7 snaps. Like, you just can't trust that he's even going to see the field. He should get some run in this game, but I think Byron Pringle is the only other guy that you could really rely on and attack in this Chiefs offense. But
yeah, I think that's fair. And let me just remind everybody that though we haven't seen a very high ceiling for Tyreek Hill against the Bills in the regular season, when they played each other in the AFC Championship last year, 9 catches for 172 receiving yards. Casual, very casual.
Yes. And I know the Bills secondary has been really good. I've been diving into their defensive numbers all week, and they're kind of astounding, like their pass defense, especially
without Tre'Davious White. Like, I thought they were gonna tank.
But then, like, when you look at the quarterbacks that they played, you're like, okay, I feel like there's some room for this secondary to be exploited a little bit when you look at the quarterback competition. But their secondary has been absolutely stellar. But again, big players have to make big plays in big games, so that's the strategy that I'm gonna operate with this week. We do this each and every week to try to help you get you set up for your DraftKings lineups. It is the pick 3.
Pick me!
1, 2, 3.
Pick one.
On 3.
Pick 3, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook.
Pick 3 is brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code SBNNFL for a special offer when you sign up. That's code SBNNFL only at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Again, we pick one quarterback, one running back, and one wide receiver that we want to build our lineups around. Try to make sure we can win some money in the divisional round this weekend. Try to get you guys some of that value in your lineup. Kate, kick us off with your pick 3 quarterback.
All right, we talked about him earlier. I'm going with Joe Burrow here. Joe Burrow has just been on an absolute tear. And I do think that if they want to advance in this round, this game's going to be on his back. Coming in at $6,600 this week just feels too low, too darn low for a quarterback that ranks 3rd in fantasy points per game since week 15. He's only behind Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen in that metric. In that span, ranks 3rd in passing yards, 1st in passer rating among NFL quarterbacks. just, I think this is a delicious matchup. Tennessee, if you look at their fantasy points allowed to opposing quarterbacks down the stretch, doesn't look great. But then when you look at their opponents, you kind of see why. We had Tyrod Taylor, Mac Jones, Trevor Lawrence, Ben Roethlisberger. These are the opponents they face down the stretch. I think that this Tennessee defense is absolutely exploitable in their secondary. And Joe Burrow, this is going to be his game.
Yeah, we saw that Week 18 matchup where Davis Mills and Danny Amendola carved up this secondary. So
the dynamic duo.
Yes. 36-year-old Danny Amendola that I did not know was still in the NFL just went absolutely nuts against this secondary in Week 18.
Danny Amendola didn't know that he was still in the NFL until he exploded against the secondary. So I think we're going to be just fine.
Yeah. He was like, what are you talking about? You want me to play today?
He did just fine. I love it. I think Joe Burrow, little Joey's going to have himself a day.
Yeah, Joey B is going to go nuts this weekend. My pick three quarterback is Matthew Stafford. I already mentioned Stafford was efficient enough last week to build my confidence in him. I really like what he did against the Cardinals. Even though he only threw the ball 17 times, he was super efficient, and he carved up their defense when he was given an opportunity to do that. At $6,200, he feels like a steal to me. I think this is a game where they just have to attack the Buccaneers secondary. And I think they're going to throw the football quite a bit more than they did against the Arizona Cardinals. The Bucs run defense is good. It hasn't been as dominant recently, but it can still give you some problems. So I think the Rams are really going to try to attack this Bucs secondary down the field. Absolutely love Matthew Stafford this week. Your pick three running back, Kate.
All right, I'm going to go with Jerick McKinnon coming in at $4,800 this week against the Bills, which has been kind of an exploitable matchup on the ground. I think he's the perfect contrarian play, especially with the return of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I just think that Jerick McKinnon looked too darn good not to generate some more touches for the week to come. 6 catches, 81 receiving yards, and a touchdown. I genuinely think he could be emerging here as the wide receiver 2 in this contest. And I do think they are going to get him touches on the ground. Obviously, this backfield was a mess, but I think the value there, considering the upside in the receiving game, is tremendous at $4,800.
Yeah, he was just that good last week. Like, they have to. If they want to win this football game, they have to get Jerick McKinnon involved in the passing game again. My pick three running back is Cam Akers. He's $5,500 this week, coming off that big 17 carry game against the Cardinals. He didn't put up a huge yardage total, but as I mentioned earlier in the show, it's more a matter of him just looking explosive and looking healthy and dynamic. Coming into the season, he was an RB1 for a lot of people who had all the upside in the world prior to that Achilles injury. And I think it was really good to see him look that way against the Arizona Cardinals. I'd still expect Sony Michel to be in the mix and get some carries, but I think that the 17 carries that he got against the Cardinals was kind of a statement by the Rams that he's healthy and we're not afraid to use him like our number one running back as we try to keep our playoff run alive. So I love Cam Akers this week. I think you should absolutely get him into your lineup. Your pick three wide receiver, Kate.
I teased it earlier. I'm rolling with Randall Cobb. Yes, Mr. returning from injury, but I cannot get over this salary of $3,100. Obviously could be limited, but I just love the upside of Randall Cobb with Aaron Rodgers. Cause I think that, you know, everything goes through the end zone here. I think they should have plenty of opportunities in the red zone, regardless of you know, whether this game is a game that they keep on the ground. I still think there's end zone opportunities to be had, especially for Randall Cobb. We know that, I mean, he's like the reason Aaron Rodgers ticks on a day-to-day basis. In this last game, had 95 receiving yards and a score. I just think that the touchdown upside here, and given the value at $3,100, really hard not to get him into your lineups just as a value play, salary cap relief sort of player with plenty of upside.
And we know Aaron Rodgers absolutely loves him. So
they are best friends that ever did live.
Yeah, that should always come into play in your DraftKings lineup strategy. My pick three wide receiver is AJ Brown. I already told you guys how much I love him. He is a little bit more pricey than I would normally target in the pick three, but when I'm just looking at number one wide receivers that I know are going to get, you know, like 10 plus targets, AJ Brown is the cheapest one. Like, he's cheaper than Stephon Diggs. He's cheaper than Tyreek Hill. He's cheaper than Mike Evans and Jamar Chase and Deebo Samuel and Devontae Adams. So I think there's value in that because he's going to be the guy that Ryan Tannehill targets. I don't know what to expect from Julio Jones, but I know that a healthy AJ Brown is a really good football player. And I think the Titans are going to have to throw in this football game. So he's going to have a monster game for Tennessee to try to sneak past the Cincinnati Bengals. So I absolutely love AJ Brown this week. That's it. That is our pick three, brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook. Thank you guys so much for listening to this edition of NFL Reacts. Make sure you follow Kate on Twitter at FFBallBlast. I'm Steven Serta. That's where you can find me. Please make sure you subscribe, rate, and review everything that we're doing on the SB Nation NFL show. You can also review on Spotify now. So help us get those numbers up on Spotify. Please subscribe if you do listen to us over there. Thank you guys so much. I hope your teams win. I hope your squad survives and advances to the title games. Let's go enjoy a very fun weekend of football. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Enjoy. Bye.